what we're going to do today is look at a group who represent the religious leadership in the nation of Israel. These are the big wigs. These are the ones who determine, if you will, the religious values. What we're going to do is try and define, first of all, what religion is. And we're going to do that. Then we're going to look at this group as they have a little discussion with Peter and others. We're going to look at what are their tactics. What does religion use? Then we're going to answer the question, are we religion or aren't we? We're continuing in the New Testament book of Acts. We are now to Acts chapter 5. If you recall from when we started, Acts chapters 1 through 8 are going to take 2 years to take place. Chapters 8 through 13 take 13 years. So we're in a 2-year window. We're in the city of Jerusalem. And what has happened in Acts 1 is we saw God's strategy for reaching His world, our world. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the church. Then we saw the Holy Spirit poured out, and we looked at that. Now what's happened is a church has exploded. 3,000 at one point, and as we review here in just a minute, now up to 5,000 men. So there were probably many more than that. And a church was born, and a church was going. There's bound to be problems. In fact, and within the next couple weeks, we're going to run into problems in the church. The religious leaders of the country were watching this. They were evaluating what they were hearing from this group of apostles, the disciples of this guy named Jesus Christ. God's fix for society. Do you want religion? Acts chapter 5, verses, the whole chapter. And on your blue Bibles, page 773. Some of you didn't bring your glasses today, I can tell. You're squinting going on. It's an age thing. I understand. Yep, it's tough when you get up there. All right, here we go. What we're going to do is we covered the first 4 verses last week, but let me review this. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees. See, the Sadducees were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in, of many things, a resurrection. They were sad, you see. All right. I remember, that's the only way I remembered it for those tests in seminary. They were sad, you see. But they were one of the religious, one of the groups that were involved. And what happened is there was a discussion going on in chapter 3, and then in chapter 4, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. That's the problem. They don't believe in any kind of a resurrection. Well, we can't have this group propagating that. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them into jail until the next day. But it's interesting, in chapter 3, that's that message. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Amazing. You and I have been through both messages that Peter gave. To be honest with you, it's more an issue of the Spirit at work. Totally. You saw the messages. We read them together. And they do contain things, parts of the gospel we must include. But God's Spirit was at work in an amazing way to see results like this. All right. After healing the man, they were all put into jail. The next day now, beginning in verse 5, we're setting up a trial, a kangaroo court. Yeah, maybe not that bad. No, actually it was that bad. They're bringing in all the big religious leaders with their big hats and outfits on, their pomp and circumstance. Here we have Peter and John. Problem is, Peter and John have a beggar who is walking with them. They can't deny something that's happened. All right, let's do this. Verses 1 through 4. On your outline, then, let's talk about religion in general, and we're going to go from there. So if you bring up religion is, first of all, trying to get to God. Trying to get to God. In a most general definition, there are people trying to get to God. Now, how do we get to God is where it becomes religion as opposed to relationship. Second statement is this: trying to use our own efforts. Using our own efforts. No matter how many good things you do, and you should do good things, you should help at a meal that we're going to serve here in a couple weeks. You should be involved and thank you at the harvest party, the things we did in that ministry. You should do good things, but it doesn't get you into heaven. Religion is trying to get to God, using our own efforts, and finally, there it is, using our goodness and our works. This is religion. So, the Sanhedrin, the religious supreme court of their day, they tithed spices, they tithed herbs. You know who Jesus went after stronger than any other group? Who did he go after? The religious leaders of the day. I mean, he went after them. You whitewashed sepulchers. We might not use that kind of language, but they certainly understood. He went after them constantly. They were setting all these religious rules and paying more attention to that than to who the one is that can really set them free. Jesus had a huge problem with the religious leaders. Verse 5. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. So we're gathering up our court. We're coming in. They're being seated. Annas, the high priest, was there. So were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. We're bringing in the big guns. That's literally what's going on here. Got these guys that were taken from the temple area, put into jail. Average, ordinary guys. Maybe got a meal that morning. But you've got all the big guns there. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Folks, this doesn't do it justice. They set this room up to intimidate them. They were going to beat down this new word. Something about Jesus. They brought these men in. They seated them. Had them probably stand up at a podium. And you read this, and it doesn't do justice to the scene. There's probably, I don't know this for sure, there's a lot of attitude in this room. There's a lot of staring. You can just sense it when you come into a room at times. When there's attitude. There's judgment. We're going to get these guys. Jump to verse 21. 21 said, after further threats, they let them go. This was the attitude in the room. Threats, condemnation, judgment. They brought in the religious leaders. They have their tradition. As I said before, they're the Supreme Court of the Jews. They frowned on new teaching, and they tried to intimidate them. Especially as we go through here, especially by the time you get to verse 21, it gives us more of this picture. All right, let's talk about religion then for a moment. In this setting, and sometimes, many times it can involve this, religion uses intimidation. Intimidation, verses 5 through 7. And again, I've done as well as I can do just to try and explain the room they came into and the point they were trying to make, especially tying verse 21 to it. That's what was going on. These religious leaders were rejecting everything. They had their own lists, their own requirements. These guys don't line up with us. We're going to get rid of them. They're going to start first with intimidation. Getting roused from the temple area and thrown into jail. Yeah, there's some intimidation there. Bringing in everybody, the big guns, setting the room up. Religion can use intimidation. We don't want to upset what we have. We're not going to evaluate what we're hearing. We're going to beat you down. That's what was going on in this room. Bring up that next statement, would you, Regina? Let's start now contrasting some things. If religion has intimidation, relationship is a gift from God. There is no way that any church or any person can force a relationship on you. I mean, in extreme cases, but the average, you're not going to force something on somebody. When you come to this church, when you are involved in the ministries of this church, we want to emphasize there's a gift. There's a gift for you. It is a gift of a relationship that you can only earn. It's interesting. Lists. They had their list in their day. Do you know what? There are lists today. I've seen extremism. Ladies, you can't wear pants. Ladies, you can't wear makeup. Seen it. I've been in a church where it's part of it. Where does that come from? What does that have to do with you? Well, certainly we want to be appropriate in what we wear. Better not touch a deck of cards. We have lists today. I think we have to be careful. I think we need to evaluate, but don't. The lists have carried on through the centuries. Religion uses intimidation. We see that here in this courtroom. We have a gift from God because we are not about religion. We are about relationship, and we're going to continue to spell that out. Verse 8. Then Peter, here is the key, folks, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. He must have, it was like maybe he came in a little intimidated, then all of a sudden there was a transition, a switch. The Holy Spirit, boom, went on inside of him. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, is that what you guys are saying in so many words? Then know this. You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Remember, do you think the religious leaders had anything to do with Jesus Christ being crucified? Absolutely. Absolutely they did. But whom God raised from the dead. And this man stands before you healed. He stands before you healed. He is the stone you rejected, the builders rejected, and has become the capstone. They're referring here to Jesus Christ. They, the Jews, rejected him, but he has become the chief cornerstone in his church. And he quotes. Now, don't you think the religious leaders picked up on that? He can quote, and he's quoting from the Old Testament. Interesting. He had the power of the Holy Spirit. The apostles were being mightily used by God, and they were put in these difficult situations, and it's amazing to see how they rose to the occasion. And why? Because of the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Okay? Next statement here on your outline. Religion lacks. Now we're lacking something. We're going to lack the Holy Spirit. They don't have it. Why? Because they reject the message. It's a man-made spirit, not the Holy Spirit. They don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. They don't follow his word. Now, they didn't have a lot of his word, but they still had, from the Old Testament. They certainly don't have what we have today. Religion lacks this. Next statement on here. We have the Holy Spirit. This is so important. And I've really tried to emphasize this in this series. Not to make it some extreme, but just to say, folks, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, 1 John 4. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You have the Holy Spirit. And we, No, we have the Holy Spirit. And you can see the potential of what God can do with a spirit in one person. He built his church in that way. And he's still building his church one person at a time. His Spirit. Verse 12. Another of these verses. You get a chance to share sometime. Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There's no other name. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, come on, folks, they knew exactly what they were doing with this room and this setup. They realized that they were unschooled, ordinary. They were unschooled, ordinary. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with unschooled, ordinary, but they had spent time with Jesus. You and I do not understand completely the potential we have. We don't. It is amazing. And as we see the church beginning, we see these people serving and doing amazing things for his honor and for his glory. Let me ask you something. These men had been with Jesus. When people look at you, they don't know if you've been with Jesus or not. You have something that is different. In a positive way. That can be really negative sometimes. But in a positive way, something different that you have been with Jesus. Do you have spent time with him in the morning? Do people notice that? That person's been with you. Think about that. Do they know if you've been with Jesus? Look at verse 14. But since they could see the man he had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Poor guy, he probably spent the night with him in jail. That's what I said. It's logical, maybe he didn't, but we don't know. Kind of like the evidence is right there. So they did what they could. Verse 15, they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. They're looking to deny a miracle. Be concerned if your religious leaders look to deny something like this. Rather than evaluating it, maybe we've missed something here. Maybe this is the Messiah. We were thinking it wasn't. They're trying to shut him up. I don't want any part of that religion. Neither do you. I think we need to be like the Bereans. When we do something, they evaluated it. They analyzed it. They were very noble because they followed the scriptures. And they took note of the scriptures. That's what we should do. They're trying to deny it, cover it up. Yeah. That's what we want to be about, isn't it? Isn't that terrible? Not sure how many other people were in that room. We don't know. But if you were there, and this was your religion, and you saw what happened, and you could hear what was going on, say, I don't want to be part of this. I got a man healed here. By the name of Jesus. We got to find out a little bit more about this. That would be hard to do, but... Verse 17. Let us stop this thing from spreading any further. Like, they're going to be able to do that. The whole mindset of this meeting keeps coming out in these verses. Let us stop this thing from spreading any further among the people. We must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this room. We're going to oppress your speech. We're going to intimidate you. We're going to oppress your speech. We're going to threaten you. That's religion. Yeah, that's worth following. It's worth giving your life to. No, it isn't. Not even close. Verse 18. Then they called them in and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Speaking. You've got to be careful on some issues of civil disobedience. Notice the context of this. Notice the statement that says it is speaking. Sometimes this passage can be used in a wrong way. Be careful with the context of this and look what they did. They talked. Most of the time you can talk and say what you want. You've got to be careful how we use some of these passages, because this passage is used in that way at times. We must obey God rather than man, so we can do whatever we want. We still have a government. We still live in a society. But here was the issue. After further threats, they let them go. Wasn't that a special meeting with your religious leaders? Isn't it great to spend time with the religious people in our city? Those that we look up to, those that walk close with God. And what did they do to Peter and John, the beggar? Threatened, intimidated. What is that? That is what you don't want to be involved in. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Okay, there's a couple of things here. right. Regina, did I skip the part of the previous block? I believe I did, didn't I? Okay, we have the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. Write down 1 Corinthians 3:16 here. Sorry. Know you not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? I want to give you a reference there. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Second verse. 1 Corinthians 2:12. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Two key verses. Thank you. Let's move on now. Religion lacks. So they see these men. They try and shut them up. They try and rail them out. Religion is unmoved by the gospel message. Earlier they presented, this is done by Jesus Christ in his power and his name. You ought to look into this, guys. I have it recorded here. But they should have. They should have. And how can you deny? There's a miracle right in front of us. But it's unmoved. Hard heart. Callous. No offense. Okay? Last statement here, we have salvation only in Christ. Only in Christ. Religion. One of the clearest, or one of the few, one of the clearest contrasts between a religion and a relationship in Christ. And in this passage, you can bounce back and forth with what the apostle said. Very simple message. No, we're not about religion. We're not going to get to God no matter how many good things you and I do. We only get to God by admitting we sin, confessing our sin, claiming the name of Jesus, trusting Him but nothing else. That is relationship. Because you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, with God. The Holy Spirit is placing you at that moment. It is a relationship. And I know probably you've heard that, but you need it spelled out occasionally. I did this. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. Amen? Bow with me. Bow your head. Thank you, Lord, for this, for these 20 or so verses. We look at this and we see the obvious contrast. We rejoice in what we have in you, what we have in Christ. Lord, those who have hard hearts, that we know, those who might be judgmental, God, give us the patience, give us the testimony, so that when people come in contact with us, they'll say to themselves, they get to Jesus. Lord, there's probably nothing better that could be said about us as your followers than we've been with you. Lord, help us to be those people. Help us to be your disciples and your followers. Thank you for this series on the church. To see something worth getting excited about, knowing that we have that spirit. We trust you and we praise you. And thank you that we can give and we do that gratefully.